Hallelujah. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and we're looking at the subject of healing. Particularly, we said that it's more about how you use your faith to be healed. Now, in Luke's Gospel 5, the first idea a man can have, you know, is, well, God just moves, then he heals people that he wants to heal, and maybe at the time he wants to do it. But Luke's Gospel 5, you discovered something very similar to what happened in Mark 5, the one we read last week, where it says Jesus, verse 17, came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Okay, and these are not necessarily his kind of audience, you know. And he says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Jesus was teaching, and the power of God was present to heal. And of course, a certain man was brought through the roof. We look at verse 20. And this is Luke writing something down. It says, when he saw their faith. Now, the truth is, Jesus didn't mention faith at all in this instance. It's Luke that identified what he had known in all of Jesus' healing miracles by saying that he saw their faith. So that means that when it comes to the healing power, faith is perceivable, faith is tangible, and faith is definite when he saw their faith. In other words, he saw an action. He saw something that was done to receive healing. So that's the, and you discover that that narrative goes through all the three epistles. I mean, the three synoptics minus John, really. Because John doesn't really focus on this, like this, you know. You hardly find, maybe two outstanding healing miracles in John. Okay, three. The John 5, John 9, and obviously the John 4. You discover that two elements are usually mentioned. The power of God, then faith. The power of God, then faith. So, it's the part that God plays is his power. The part I play is faith. And so, the question should now be, where can I find God's power? That's, you know, here it says, as he was teaching, the power of God was present to heal. Now, what if he wasn't teaching? What if he wasn't there? Now, we'll just go through a few of the examples we have seen before. Matthew 8, when he touched the leper was healed. Then the centurion said, well, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy. And then he says, well, I'll come and heal him. He says, no, you don't have to come. Speak your word only. For I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to one, comes, and he comes. I say to one, do that, and it's done. And Jesus recognized a fundamental element of what he said, which is authority. So, it also means that just the fact that he spoke, he says, my servant will be whole. So, what we say, Jesus was present, was teaching, It doesn't necessarily mean I have to be in the healing meeting or I have to be where the word is being taught. No. It just means the word is being taught at all. Where the word is being taught. You know, when it says speak your word, only your servant may be whole, it could mean say it, record it, and send it to me. It could also mean I'm listening to a teaching on healing. It could also mean I just listen to a teaching anyone. It could also mean something that was taught 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago and then played back. So which means that everywhere that the word is taught, every time the word is taught, the power of God is present. Everywhere, every way, every time, the power of God is present. You know, in Luke 5, we're not told the content of his sermons. We're not told, oh, this is what he was teaching. He was talking about how to receive healing. No, he was teaching. And the folks that were there were even his critics, the doctors of the law and the Pharisees. And yet the power of God was present. Why? Because he was teaching the word. So which means that at the teaching of the word, whether written, recorded, or orally delivered to me and I'm there, the power of God is present. So the power of God is present where the word is taught. The power of God is present where the word is taught. So therefore, when the word is being taught, whether it is being taught to me directly in the sense of the teacher is present, like Luke 5:17, or the preacher has taught, then they send what he taught to me, or it is in a written format. Every time I hear the word, or every time the word is taught, I can release my faith. Now, when I say release my faith, it's a terminology used to just mean use my faith or to believe. Okay, and the reason why they use the term release my faith is because, okay, if you don't use something, you don't use it. So if you have not used it, you have not used it. So releasing your faith means I believe what is being said. I know some of us have even mocked that statement before. Why are you releasing your faith? Did you jail your faith? You know? But the term simply means to believe. To believe what is being taught. To believe what is being said. So, where the word is taught, at any time, at any subject, every subject of God's word, every subject in God's word, as long as Jesus is being taught, the power of God is there. It need not be a series on healing. It can be a subject on righteousness. It can be a subject on angels. It can be a subject, well, I almost said on demons. But well, the fact that they are under his feet, you know, maybe that's another way to look at it. But every time the word is taught, the power of God is present to heal. The power of God is praying to heal. You know? And the way it is, let me just divert a little bit and come back. In Matthew 17, Jesus talked about if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed. Now, two things that says. The average Jew knows what a mustard seed is. Well, then, such is almost the most, the tiniest. You know, you will say, he says, to that mountain be thou removed, and what you ask will be done unto you. Now, watch that, what I'm about to say. You see, where the word is taught, any subject, any focus, because God or Jesus, who is the subject of Scripture, all right? He's the subject of Scripture. The Bible talks about him. John 1:1 says he's the Word. Is the focus of all writings. And his redemptive work is called healing in the sense of he reconciles us with God. 1 Peter 2:24. Himself bore our infirmities, bore our sins on his body on the tree. By his stripes we are healed. Okay, we have all returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. So that basically is referring to our reconciliation with God. But you know something? The sign of that reconciliation, the what you can call the physical emblem of that reconciliation is physical healing. So that means that even listening to the subject of righteousness, that things are set right by God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? That we should be made the righteousness of God in Him. Romans 5:17, we have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Thereby we reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just by reading that, and knowing that setting things right is a healing in itself. Right? That on its own provides a platform to receive divine healing. Because it's a sign of right standing. It's a sign of God doing something right in us and through us, which we call the gifts of righteousness. So hearing about it, oh, our God has set us right. He has restored us or put us into fellowship in His Son. You know, the sign of that on its own provides a platform to receive healing. So just about anything around Jesus, you know, you can, what I said now can just be about everything, can just be, you can summarize that as all that Jesus came to do. That's why if you look back, even before you started to understand the full meaning of Isaiah 53, that where Isaiah 53 was about salvation, really, that was referring to reconciliation, forgiveness of sins, and all that. But you observe that for years, even till now, people use that same scripture to receive healing and they get healed. Do you know why? Because healing is the sign of it. Almost every, if you look at the book of Isaiah, almost everything you read there about healing, almost everything, is really about sin and reconciliation with God. But you know something? If someone should, on that platform, believe for healing, he'll be healed. Do you know why? Because the physical healing is a sign of what was said. So that means that every time I hear about the love of God, why do you think that Jesus' crowd always got healed? You know, in their numbers. Was He always teaching about healing? No. But you see, the teaching of Jesus, whatever He was taught, was enough platform to be healed. He talks about the love of God, the compassions of God, God putting things right in the death of His Son. You know, how God wants to bring us into fellowship with Him. That must have been the focus of His teaching. Every time you hear that, there's definitely an inspiration, a platform to believe God for a healing in your body. So, the first thing we said, when the word of God is taught, and I said any subject, you need not me teaching on healing. So obviously, well, to be healed, there has to be maybe a series on healing. Then I not, no. You can be listening to a teaching on tongues, and it projects Jesus, the center of scriptures, to you. And you know something? Because at that moment, do you understand? You believe in God's love, His compassion, and you know what He does for us freely. Healing becomes accessible. These guys that were outside were not even inside. They weren't inside. They were just outside. The Pharisees and doctors of the law were inside. So it's not unlikely that they didn't hear what He was teaching. It's not unlikely. But whatever He was teaching, even if He was teaching rapture, as we say, healing is still available. So which means that every time the word of God is taught, midweek service, Sunday service, every time I listen, whether it's recorded or sent to me or written, I can release my faith in that direction and I'll be healed. So we said two elements: faith, the power of God, and the power of God is present where the word is taught. The power of God is present where the word is taught. Every time the word is taught, the power of God is present. Every time the word is taught, everywhere the word is taught, every format with which the word is taught. Everywhere the word is taught, every time the word is taught, every format, whether it's written, whether it is spoken, whether it's just singing. Some of us are just used to just singing and going after melodies. Melodies have done nothing to anyone before. But just the wordings, the things that were said. I got healed just remembering the Moen song. That was it. I didn't even know where the verse was. I got healed just listening to "I am the Lord that healed thee." I didn't know where the verse was. It was after a while that I went to find out where the verse was. Just knowing that, well, it's true. And I remember that a friend told the story of how the Moen sang that song. No, let me break it down well. That the Moen served under Terry Law. Terry Law is known for a healing ministry, a prayer ministry, and therefore the day he sang it, so and so. That was all. You know, I didn't exactly have to know that, Psalm 107 verse 20, you know, where you look at it closely, maybe a larger picture is referring to redemptive reality of Jesus coming to, you know, take away sickness and disease in the sense of sin. That wasn't my brother. My brother was, he sent his word and healed me. If you ask me, what did the word that he sent, I didn't know. But the fact that I could release my faith, Jesus said, if it's just a grain of mustard seed, the fact that I could just release my faith, that I believe God. You see, if you believe, and God can do it, it will be done. Sometimes what people believe for is what God never said he could do, and what God never had done before. So, but you see, when it comes to divine healing, we have an overwhelming evidence, either in the Old Testament, the four Gospels, the book of Acts, and the Epistles, that it's what God does. So if I release my faith at any instance, in any situation, healing is available to me. Hallelujah. It need not be a healing service. Sometimes, now, it's good to have a healing meeting, healing school, healing streams, healing power service, and all of that. All it just does is to get you set, you know, in your mind. But you know, you can be that set every time. You can be that set every time. You can be that set in your mind every time. You can be that set every time. So every time the word is taught, every time the word is taught, every time the word, irrespective of the subject, which means, for example, what some people tell me, well, you know, I couldn't come to church. You say, why? I wasn't feeling fine. I don't understand that. Some say, well, I couldn't come to the hospital. They say, why? I was not feeling fine. You know, we say, well, you don't really want to feel fine. James 5, he says, is there any sick among you? Let him stay at home. No? We'll come to that in a moment. Let him call for the elders of the church. That is the church, right? How would you say you don't want to come to church? You're not coming to church because you don't feel fine. Just means that you don't know what happens in the church. As the word of God is taught, as prayer is being made, and power available, that is the right time to release your faith and be healed. You see some folks, you know, that don't know half as much. No. A thanks, no. A whiff of what you know. They just say, just take me to the church. And they release their faith. They release their faith. The guy that says he cannot go to the church will go to the hospital. He can't go to the church. Where is, you know, I'm not feeling good. What he's thinking? He's thinking, if he goes there, he will have to stand up and pray. If he goes there, he will have to listen to the word. That's stressful. If he goes there, you know, we'll have to lift our hands and worship God. That will even worsen my sickness. Can you see that? He's actually in unbelief. He hasn't seen that, just like even the fellow leading prayer, as he prays, the power of God is made available, he can be healed. The person leading the worship, you know, and the word is done. He says, if I go, he now says, hey, 2-hour service. He says, community, 3 hours. That's how they will keep teaching, till my sickness goes worse. Can you see that he's dwelling in unbelief? Those guys, and you know that in Luke 5, Jesus is not likely to have taught for hours. They came in through the roof. The most almost very inconvenient. Have you tried to come into the roof before? To anywhere? And you came in through the roof. Somebody that could not walk is now brought in through the roof. You know, that's a lot of stress. But he was healed. So, he says, the faith as the grain of a mustard seed. Why would you not come to church because you are not feeling fine? You should. So the word, let's start again. Where the word is taught, the power of God is present. Where the word is taught, the power of God is present. And some of you know sometimes, you may be having maybe body pains and all that. And without being prayed for, you come to the service and you are fine. Okay? Now, imagine you now releasing your faith consciously in that direction. That when I get to the service, as the word of God is taught, and the Holy Ghost giving a free course, I'll receive my healing. What are you doing? You are releasing your faith. You are releasing your faith. Number two, where believers gather, the power of God is present. Where believers gather, the power of God is present. What is the church again? The church is the pillar and ground of truth, 1 Timothy 3:16. What is the church again? Matthew 18:20. Where two or three are gathered in my name. I mean, there I am in the midst of them, talking about, you know, the ecclesia of God, where believers come together to carry out God's will on earth. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, for the Spirit of God dwells in you. Ephesians 2:21. It says we come together and we form a holy habitation for God through His Spirit. 1 Peter 2:5. It says we offer our spiritual sacrifice. We built up a spiritual house to offer our spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So there's something that is clear. Corporately, individually, we are the house of God. 2 Corinthians 6:16. It says, for I will dwell in them, I will walk amongst them. You know? So that's a fact. I know that. That's a fact. So when we are together, and that need not be a Sunday service or Tuesday service or Wednesday service or Thursday service. It could just be brethren coming together. And in my house or in someone's house, he says, God is there. God is there. That's church. So when James says, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of your village. Eh? Remove the word church there. So you understand what he's trying to say. He said, let him call for the elders. You know, some of us will call our uncle, who is a doctor. Let him call for the elders. You call, there's one old man like that. You know, I heard, no, the elders of the church. You know what he's saying is that have church. Hallelujah. That's what he has just said. Okay, you cannot go, right? You can't go to the service. Okay, have the service in your house. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. That says the prayer of faith will save the sick. Do you recognize that when we come together like this, the power of God is present? Sometimes we sing it away and never believe it. Oh, we say, we know you are in this place. We know you are in this place. We know you are in this place. Just enjoy the sonorous rhythm and that's all to it. What about knowing that the healer is in this place? The one who cures cancer is in this place. The one who takes away fibroids is in this place. And then what will you do? You release your faith. You release your faith. You release your faith. Because you've seen him do it and do it again and again. When we come together, when we come together, when we come together, the power of God is present. Let's take it again. Where the word is taught, when the word is taught, anytime the word is taught, in whatever format it is taught, the power of God is present. Look at this now. The written word, what you are reading is probably, some of the writings are dated almost 6,000 years or 4,000. Let me be very careful. Some about 2,000 or less. Written. But they still carry the same weight as the speaker when he was saying it. So you need not to have been present where it was said. Anywhere words are put together, and it's the word of God in any format, the power of God is accessible. In any format. The power of God is accessible. In any format, the power of God is accessible. In any format, the power of God is accessible. We said that. So, when we come together, when we come together. Now, oftentimes, we see this more in special meetings. Oh, believers convention, camp meetings, crusade grounds, you know, and all of that. Somebody had asked me this question. I know I've mentioned it many times. How come that if you go to maybe a village, it seems like people readily want to believe. They want to believe. They want to get healed easier than in the cities. I said, well, when it comes to faith, whether you're a Christian or you're a non-believer, right? A Christian can doubt the healing power. Sorry, this is like an oxymoron. And a non-believer can believe it. A non-believer can believe it. And a Christian can doubt it. Maybe the Christian has some things he has heard. Maybe he has seen some things that have happened to people. He will remember one pastor like that. Who did this one? Who was sick? He remember this one. You know? But oftentimes when you go to those places to have meetings, or you go for a crusade, they don't even know you. So it's just what you say. Just what you say. I remember one of the meetings we had somewhere, and a woman who was deemed to have, half of her body was paralyzed or so. She said she just touched the poster, and had my picture, the picture of other preachers of that crusade, and she got healed. But somebody printed it now. Somebody actually put it there. It's not even unlikely that as the person was putting it, this place is paining me. You know, it's not unlikely. I said, I've been pushing this thing since morning. My hand is even paining me. You get it? Somebody from nowhere just says, they are coming to come and do surgery. They are coming to, and get healed. The person may be a Muslim. I once had a crusade like that. Where it was an indoor crusade. And a woman talked about how her child walked. And the meeting were taking testimony. Then she said, it on the pulpit. Though I am still a Muslim. 22 years ago. Though I am still a Muslim. But I thank God. I thank Jesus Christ for, you know. Now, the truth is that, how do I even reverse what has happened? There's no way. It has just happened before your eyes. The man in Acts 3, we're not told whether he was saved. Look on us. Silver and gold have I not, such as I have, I give thee. We're not told whether he was saved. But he was healed. He was healed. So, if you see people, maybe on, maybe a crusade ground, maybe on the field, maybe when you're going for evangelism, they get healed. Because they don't have any mindset, there's nothing. But the guys in the city, they have read people doctoring miracles. They have made fun of people. They have seen skits where preachers were mocked. They have seen where healing was used as, you know, a derisory thing. All those things matter. Because what you don't expect, you can't get. That is just as simple as it is. You can't get it. So a guy that is not a Christian will just believe for it and be healed. There was a time where I was very sick. It was 1992. So I was taken to a called clinics. Stayed there for 3 days. So then they said, okay, I should go home. That if it comes after 5 days, if it still lasts, I should come back again. So I went to my cousin's place. They are Muslims. You know? And I was just feeling, this is bad. I mean, I just couldn't. People would be, you know, walking out, doing things. I couldn't just get up from the bed. So at one point, during the hours where I was fine, so I went to their bookshelf. Come and look at what I want to say. And I saw Lobsang Rampa books. Who knows Lobsang Rampa? You don't know him. Don't know him, oh. I saw Lobsang Rampa books. I saw, you know, Abdul Roshin. You should know that one. Grail Message. I saw a Kanka. I just saw a book tucked in the middle to heal the sick. Charles and Francis Hunter. Christian book, oh. And they slaughtered it in the middle of all of that. You know. And so I took the book. And I read it. I was not reading it. I read it. Then my aunt now said, she be you a Christian. She was telling me, she said, if you just pray into water, that she uses it. That is what they said in that book. Me, I'm the Christian, she is the Muslim. But if you just pray into this water and you believe, you'll be healed. And she was right. She was right. Praise God. She was really correct. You know, let me save you the rest of the story. But the thing is that an unbeliever who does not believe Jesus rose from the dead can release his faith to be healed. The power of God is present. He sees it. So we don't need that pre-preparation. Oh, we're going to have camp meeting. It'll be a great time. It'll be... No. You can get that prepared for a Wednesday service. I remember late 96 or thereabouts, I was teaching and I made up my mind not to lay hands on the sick. I just said, I won't lay hands on that today. I was just going to teach them the word. There was this lady. So I was just like I'm talking now. She sat just about this way and I was just saying, you know, the power of God is here. It's here. That you don't need anybody to lay hands on you. And that was what I was doing. I didn't know. The power of God is here. She said she believed God that was going to lay hands on her. She said he's going to lay hands on me and this part of my body that hurts me will be healed. And she said she kept releasing her faith like that for days. And I said I wasn't going to lay hands. I was not going to lay hands. That I wanted them to, I was just going to teach them so that they can use their faith. But she said I was going to lay hands. And she got what she believed for. Did I lay hands? No. Did I lay hands? Yes. Solve that yourself. So, really, when we come together, the power of God is present. The power of God is present. When the word is taught, where the word is taught, everywhere, every format the word is taught. You know, you can get morning devotion. Morning devotion. The difference in camp meeting and morning devotion is consciousness. That's all. Camp meeting is a venue. People are more. The music team dresses differently. Pastor wears suits. You know? All those things. You know, I say, the power of God is here. No? All that just made it special to you. It won't be less special if the meeting held under a tree. Or in the bathroom. So, carry a consciousness to receive at every meeting and everywhere and every format where you hear the word taught. Hallelujah. 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 So, pay attention. Any format where the word is taught and any gathering where believers are, power of God is there. Power of God is present. Power of God is present. Power of God is there. Power of God is there. Power of God is present. Amen. So, oftentimes we miss the point. We think that, well, the power of God is when hands are laid. No. The power of God is when there's a word of knowledge. No. Let me even tell you something. Brother Hagin was saying this last night. He said that, well, he's not around. I mean, what was this last night? That there was a meeting like that. You know, that William Branham is quite one of the most respected when it comes to the word of knowledge of his time. And then he said that he called out a case. He was trying to say that the fact that there's a word of knowledge on a sickness does not mean the person is healed. He called out the case, so and so, so a person, you have this and all that, and the person identified himself and never got healed. So, we often think that word of knowledge is the healing. No. See, even if they don't call any case, you are in the meeting. The word of God is taught. We think that until the case is called, that's when I'll get healed. That is not true. A word of knowledge just means that, well, you are sick and I know it. It doesn't even mean you are sick. You're already sick before the word of knowledge came. I just know it. It doesn't mean you are healed. Doesn't mean you are healed. So, even where a word of knowledge is given, I'll still need to release my faith. The word of knowledge is only an avenue where the power of God can be received. It is not the power of God. It is not the power of God. It is not the healing power. Hands laid. Hands laid. Hands can be laid. And the recipient doesn't receive anything. Mark 6. Jesus went to his hometown. The Bible says, you know, he could not heal many that were sick because of their unbelief. Except that he laid hands on a few sick folk. Now, of course, that tells you something, that even in the height of unbelief, laying on hands will work. Just lay hands either way. But the truth is that laying on of hands, all it does is that it helps the recipient to believe. It is not the end itself. We can also pray over clots. Clots. Or things just like, you know, Acts 19. Handkerchiefs and aprons, verse 11, were laid on the bodies of Paul. Taking those who were sick and those who were possessed, and he left them. And all of that. Yeah. But never forget that the two elements remain the power of God and faith. Just know that those are the two things. The power of God, present when the word is taught, present where believers are gathered, and faith, which can be found in any man, whether you are a Christian or you are not. Any man, whether you are a Christian or you are not. In John 5, a man didn't know who Jesus was. He didn't know who he was. He didn't know who he was. And he asked, he said, some man. And he got healed. Why? Because he believed. Acts 3, we are not told whether the guy was a Christian. We don't have a record of how he received the gospel. We don't, till now. But he believed. Because Peter says, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man whole and strong. So, whether hands are laid or not, whether something is sprayed on a cloth or not, the vital element is to know where the power of God is. The power of God is where the word is taught. The power of God is where the word is taught. The power of God is when the word is taught. The power of God is in any way the word is taught. The power of God is when believers come together. The power of God is when believers come together. Every activity of believers, when we come together, can produce a healing. Every activity of believers, when we come together, can give a healing. I'll take that again so that it will be clearer. Every activity of believers, when we come together, will bring a healing. Whether we are praying, alright, whether we are singing, whether the word is being taught. You know, I can also believe, we say I greet one another, you know, and all that. And I just believe in my heart that, well, I believe that Mother Shewa Jesai is a Christian. I believe the power of God is on him. He's a house of God. If he greets me in the service, I'll be healed. It's just as simple as that. He needs not know what I did. So as you learn to release my faith, release my faith at every opportunity. I've seen someone just say, sir, this is a very funny one. Just called me and said, just say I'm healed. I didn't even ask of what. I just said, you are healed. Thank you, sir. I put up the phone. Really? All the person just heard just my voice. That's all. And I didn't know healed of what. And the person came and said, thank God, though, I was healed. Hey, of what? So, it is not the word of knowledge that is the healing power. No, not at all. If it was, then the woman with the issue of blood wouldn't have gotten healed. Jesus did not even know anybody touched her. Didn't want anybody to touch him anyway. Sorry. He was going to Jairus' house, and that was when the healing occurred. So at every juncture and junction, ensure that you are releasing your faith. See, we said this the other day. Stay in God's word, even when the symptoms are high. Stay in God's word, even when you have to use a medication. Stay in God's word like the bulldog. Stay in God's word like that which persists through any season and time. Stay in God's word. Never let be a time where you are giving up at all. Faith doesn't give up. Faith in God's word does not give up. No, it doesn't. We said in Romans 4, Abraham calls the things that be not, the things that be not as though they were. He called it. Do you know the thing about what he did? Till today, you can't teach Christianity without mentioning his name. He called it. And his faith, alright, and what he believed for, still has evidence in the earth today. He called it. We don't know for how long. Sometimes when you have long-standing sicknesses, it almost looks like this is a dead end. Say, why? You know, we always feel like if I didn't get healed the first day, the second day, after the pain came, the sixth day, maybe that's... No! We read someone 12 years. Another one 11 years. One crippled from birth. How would somebody crippled from birth believe he can walk again? He had never used his feet before. Not once. You know, if you had used it before, then something happened. You can say, I can use it again. No, I had never used it before. But you know what? He believed for it. You can believe for it. Amen. You can believe for it. Truth is that maybe we'll talk about it later in the year. Some healings happen immediately. Pam. Some. No, they don't. But you know what? Whether it happened immediately or not, faith is still the factor. Release your faith. Believe God. Amen. Let's now talk about something else. Then we pray. What about for people that are not here? You can also stand in faith and believe God for somebody who is not around. You can believe for someone close to you. We'll look at four examples, or maybe three. Matthew 8. Alright? Matthew 8. You know, we had two instances of relationships there. Well, before that, there was a leper who was healed because Jesus healed him, obviously. Then the centurion said, my servant lies at home sick. Now, after that, Peter's mother-in-law. Which means that it is possible to believe and receive healing on behalf of people that I know. Peter's mother-in-law. We have the Matthew 17 account. My child. Matthew 15 account. Syrophoenician woman too. My child. So we have people that they are relatives, children, if someone's staff, a soldier is not even your staff. It's just somebody under you. Staff is somebody you employed. He employed the soldier, the centurion, could get healed because he believed for it. How much more? We can believe. And believe for others. In Acts 19. Before I go to Acts 19, Luke 5. Remember, it was the guy's friends who took him through the roof. It's good to have good friends. Friends that will, they'll be like your faith boosters. Let's go. Let's believe for it. Let's go for that. I believe that when you get to that meeting, it will be done. You know, they're not trying to say, we want to use you as a testimony. This is not healing, but let me talk about it. There was a fellow like that who wanted to get filled with the Holy Ghost. We were friends. Well, we are still friends. We started ministry together. Well, let me put it like this. We started something together late 1992. So, but I discovered later it wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. And for a whole year, I did all I could. I would explain. I didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost. I went for... there were about five of them, but this particular one just didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, we went for one meeting, used Christian Fellowship. All the other two, one had been filled earlier. God filled. He was the only one. He was just this very logical guy, and he just felt, So I now took him to where I knew that See, this is the end of the age. If here it doesn't happen, you know what? It's the will of God for you. You know, Jack just knew. Because, I mean, in those days, that was Victory Christian Fellowship, University of Ibadan. I knew that in those days, if you don't get filled with the Holy Ghost here. And I told my friends, I said, I'm bringing this brother on. Say, if after this one, say, we all agree. You know? And, you know, that's how to be a good friend. That, okay, I couldn't get it done. For many reasons, maybe familiarity, maybe whatever. But I'm not going to take that out on you. I just want you healed. So I took him there. And of course, he got healed. I'm sorry, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. So you can have friends like that. He just took him there. They didn't take him there for any other reason but so that he can get healed. Remember, what Luke said Jesus saw was not his faith, their faith. He saw their faith. So you can have people believe together with you. Let me also say this. Learn to also know how to believe together with people. Your friends. Someone should call you. There's just this constant, you know, pain in my abdomen. It's been coming on and on. Say, hey, you know, of course, nothing wrong in saying, have you seen the doctor? But you know, I don't have to talk to a Christian to hear that. Huh? Have you taken something? I'll hear that in my office. In fact, I'll hear that from the security man. Oh God, have you used something? You know, I'll hear that from anybody. But you have to have friends who can say, you know what, let's take you to where the power is. Or let's believe God together. And what it means is, let me say this, what it means is, we'll stand in faith together. That means that as I'm saying I'm healed, my friend is saying that you are healed. You are healed. We thank God for your healing. There was a friend of mine who was believing for something. That was in 2002. I remember the date very well, August 14. And so, I went up to his room. He stayed at the Jawa Estate. We stayed up in his room. And then I said, let us just believe for this. He said, man of God, this is an impossible thing. I said, we're going to stand together and just believe for it. So we were in his bedroom, you know, and then we believe. I said, today, look at the wristwatch. 12 o'clock, August 14, 2002. I said, we believe that we have this and we have it. So anytime I see him, I say, remember that thing that we got that day. Remember that thing we got that day? 12 o'clock, right? August 14, right? You know, that's how to stand in faith with people. It's not just when you're in service. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. They say, how is that your leg? I say, anyway, we thank God. I said, remember that August 14, 12 noon? Remember what we received? He said, yeah. Every time I was doing that, I was getting him back, you know, to not drift away. You get it? What Brother Higgy will call keeping the switch of faith turned on. You know, some of us switch on faith and switch it off. In the service, the light goes up. Oh, hey! As soon as we leave, we switch it off again. You can keep the switch of faith turned on. August 14, 12 noon. I believe I received it and I got it. And he did. Today, this is how many years now? 2020. That's about 18 years. Looks like yesterday. You know, is in exactly what we prayed for and what we received. So you can believe with a friend. It doesn't mean it will happen the next day. But you say, you know that thing we received that day? We thank God for it. We thank God for it. And the pain is still there. We thank God for it. We thank God for it. For the fibroids are gone. We thank God for it. We give praise to God. It doesn't mean we will go to the hospital. It doesn't mean we will go and see the doctor. No. But on that day, when we prayed, we believed that we received and we got it. We got it. You keep the switch of faith turned on. You can have people. Sometimes you have folks come and have people being prayed for on a cloth, and we pray together, and then they go there, and then they lay the cloth on the person, and then maybe nothing happens immediately. You just say, you know, you have to be a faith person. Say, you know what? We believe at this moment that the power of God is working in your body. You come again the next day, you know the power of God is working in your body, effecting a heal and a cure. What are you doing? You are keeping the switch of faith turned on. Learn to be a faith friend. Be a faith friend. Someone that can stand in faith with others. I stand in faith with you on this. That so and so and so and so. Even when it comes to direction. If I pray with someone, we're praying about a leading, and we agree together, I'll say, well, we have the leading on this matter. Even though we don't know what to do in the mind. We have the leading. You know we have the leading on the matter? Yeah, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So, what that means is that we are standing together in faith. Speak your word only, and my servant will be whole. He released his faith on behalf of his servant. And the servant, if he will not also release unbelief, he has to also be faith. So two people can agree. If we can agree to be friends, we can agree to marry, if we can agree to go to somewhere together, we can agree in faith. Whatever human beings can do on their own in agreement, faith can do more. We can agree together to be healed. We can agree together and release our faith in that direction. So we're going to pray. You know, we're not there yet. We're going to pray for those who are not here. We'll stand in faith, you know, but won't come and just do a ceremony, just come out, you know. No. We'll actually stand in faith and release our faith. And you know, faith is not a once and for all thing. Thank God. Amen. The next day. Hey, oh God. No. No. You wake up. You remember what you believe. I have received this and I have it. You sleep. You wake up again. I believe this and I have it. Do you understand? Praise God. Praise God. I believe it and I have it. You know, someone came to me and said, I had this miscarriage. And I said, well, let this be the last time you are going to mention that word. That would be very difficult for a newlywed person. So let this be the last time you are going to say it. Amen. Let this be the last time. How would I now communicate it? What are you communicating to who? For what intent? Like I told you last week, once you hear sorry. Sorry is yet to heal anybody. It makes you feel good. You feel relaxed. At least somebody cares for you. That's all you are going to get. I don't want to hear only, of course, don't become mean-hearted and cold-hearted. You don't have to say sorry to people again. That's not what I'm saying. But I want to have people that, after they are saying sorry, they say, but you know what? The word of God is working. The power of God is working. We're in faith together on this matter. Exactly. Sorry is here to do anything. I know we can be very emotional about people close to us. Because we get, in fact, oftentimes we say it in professional duties when it comes to health practitioners, that you can get very sentimental and take the wrong judgments. Because you get like, the fear of what may happen to the person, you just go and do the wrong thing. So that also can come in when it comes to believing God. You know, hey, doubt will just creep in because you know the person very well. Oftentimes, that familiarity is what doesn't allow people to receive anything. Let's stay in faith with people. Hallelujah. Let's stay in faith with people. Let's stay in faith with people. Amen. You can stay in faith for someone. You can stay in faith for someone. Amen. Whether, but some of us will just give up. Maybe the person has gone for surgery. We just give up. No. There's no time faith gives up. No. 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 There's no time faith gives up. I've told you there's nothing in the natural, when it comes to natural means, that hurts the work of faith. Always remember that all the time. Is it possible for someone to say, well, the way I believe God for, I don't want to take any drug on this matter again. Yes. But it's not a formula. It's not a formula. There's no formula to it. Believe me, you are saved with your mouth and you are healed. There was no way Jesus told anybody, don't go and see your doctors again. If you see doctors, you have not believed me. He never said that to anybody. Paul never did. Neither should you. Not in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament, not in the four Gospels, not in any testament. Hallelujah. But you know what? We can't trust in human wisdom at the detriment of God's power. It's foolishness. It's foolishness. So release your faith in that direction of what you believe for. Let's go over some things we have learned. And as we close, gradually, everywhere, anywhere, and any format the word is taught. The written word, the spoken word. Secondly, when believers come together. When believers come together. Just like now. Just like tomorrow. A prayer group meeting is an avenue where the power of God can be made available. We need not be talking about healing to get healed. We can even be talking about marriage. Say amen. You're happy about that one. And we'll get healed. We can be talking about something different. But because we are talking about Jesus, healing is available. We also said that you can stand in faith with a friend, a colleague, a fellow brother. And standing in faith is not something you just say, praise God, thank God for your life. And then that's all. It means that when I see you the next time, we'll give praise to God. When you are not there, say, Father, I thank you for that so and so, you know, has received his healing and a cure in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Faith can be a fight sometimes. It can be that, you know, never give up. See, there is no one who gives up easily that walks by faith. None. If you had been like that before you got born again, as soon as you received the life of God, that should have left you. Since there's that tenacity on the word that goes live or die, sink or swim, go up or go under. The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. That's an attitude. Human beings call it grit. We call it faith. I believe God. I believe what God said. The pain is there, but I believe God. I believe God. The doctor says so, so and so, but I believe God. But I believe God. Well, the way we are saying it, you may never be able to do this. So. I mean, years ago, I was told that, forget about preaching. This was 23 years ago. Or is it less than that? Say you can preaching? Preaching! Said no. Said preaching. Like, you can't do preaching. With this so. I said, I'm going to preach. Leave all that once, I'm going to preach. Of course, I didn't disclose this to my mom until years later after I've been preaching for a long time. If I told her immediately, I couldn't have told my dad. You know, that's the last person to tell. You know? But I just said, no, I'm going to preach. So that's the last thing you can do. You can't. You now stand up for a long time. No, go. Find something else to do to serve God. You know, and all that. But say, I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach the gospel. That's what I'm going to do. So, sometimes like that, it doesn't mean that the next day you have the symptoms of it. No, you won't. But there's that bulldog approach. Sometimes it takes 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months. Do you know how long some of us look for jobs? Eh? And we stay there. Yet when it comes to believing, after 1 week you say, maybe it's not the will of God. 1 week. But job, you will first of all apply to everything applicable. You know, Tuesday guardian. Thursday guardian. You've already booked for it for a month. You understand? When it comes to, I believe God. Amen. I believe God. Even marketing, some of us that do marketing, who go and disturb people till they say, did this work for you? you go. We know how to beg people for money. You beg the person 1 week, 2 weeks. When it comes to believing, you say, Amen. Let the will of God be done. No, it's actually unbelief wrapped up in fine clothes. I believe God. I'm tenacious to the word of God. I believe God for my healing and the healing of people that I know. My faith is strong. I release it to receive the healing power of God. Today, I believe that I receive healing in my body and for others, and I have it. I believe that I receive healing for myself and for my friends. And I have it. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and just thank God for His healing power. Thank God.